The title of my offertory today is Outgoing Concern. And last night, going back to last night, some of us had a brief conversation sharing our experiences about the first days being a parent with a newborn child. To every single parent, this is a very unique experience. It's very mind-blowing and life-changing. It feels like you're going through something that is absolutely unique and something you have not been able to prepare for. And I recall thinking that I was experiencing something that, like, certainly nobody has really ever experienced like I did. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. This is an experience bringing a newborn child home that is common to every single parent who has ever existed for thousands and thousands of years, yet it is still unique and special. The one thing that hits hardest during those first days is the realization that we have a responsibility for someone else's life. Suddenly, that treasured independence and freedom to make decisions that we have enjoyed in our young adulthood at that point in time, for those of us who are parents, it gives way to somebody else's need, that little one. Our ability to make decisions based on our own desire is tempered by the need to first evaluate how it affects that new person we happen to be responsible for. Something as simple as taking a shower requires an inordinate amount of planning around this little one's unpredictable schedule for the day. It's a good thing, it's a very good thing babies are so cute. Otherwise, I fear that we would be extinct. A little bit. But this kind of experience of having a responsibility for a baby is an easy target because it describes the jarring experience of having to care and have concern for someone else before we have concern for ourselves and perhaps before we're ready to make that change and that transition. Of course, what I'm talking about is that experience of love, that transition of independence, fierce independence. It shifts when we have love for someone else. A child is one thing, but you don't have to be a parent to go through this kind of experience. In fact, we shouldn't have to be a parent to relate to having love for one another. Love is that thing that brings us to put ourselves aside and instead consider the well-being of others. Whether those people are children, or siblings, or parents, or grandparents, our friends, our spouses, can't forget the spouses, our brethren, neighbors, and yes, even our enemies are people that we love. The challenge, of course, is that having concern for others doesn't necessarily come naturally. I think that's why it's so jarring and abrupt and uncomfortable for new parents to go through that experience. All of a sudden, there's a need to put our own desires aside and put them in second place. And sometimes putting something in second place means forgetting about it completely. I think all of us have had an experience where we've sacrificed something that we want for the sake of somebody we love. And I think it's also very fair to say that it's very natural to spend most of our time as human beings thinking and worrying about ourselves. We are in our own skin. We think about what we're experiencing, what we are doing, how the lives of others affect us, like how we are being judged by others. And brethren, it's that self-centered way of thinking. It begins from the very moment we're born. You take little ones and all they know is themselves and their own desires. I've got some experience as a parent, and I know that they're, for the many years, in their early childhood, all they care about is what we can do for them. Now, that changes, of course, as we become mature. But we evaluate a lot of our decisions day to day and moment to moment according to how it affects us. It's perfectly normal, perfectly human. Yet the Bible commands us to have love for one another. Let's open up to Philippians 2 and begin reading verses 1 through 4. Philippians 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. We have this instruction to consider others in our lives. In fact, as we see here, we are to esteem others more important than ourselves. When we grow up in our maturity as Christians, we learn what it means to truly have love for one another. We expand our concern for ourselves beyond the boundary of our own flesh and begin to consider how others are affected by what we do. We express our love by putting aside our own needs and desires to look out for those interests of others. That is called sacrifice. It is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us and the model that we follow. When we consider how our lives have an effect on others, we evaluate our decisions based on that and thereby exemplify love. Turning to Galatians 5, reading verses 13 through 14. Galatians 5. In verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The simplicity of love is so beautiful and massive in what it does. When we are able to express our love with sincerity, it is a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. When we offer love to one another and to God, that is what all of the law and the prophets are founded on. It is a wonderful way to judge ourselves as to whether we are pleasing God. What I like about this passage, too, is that it does not instruct us to deny ourselves. No, same thing with Philippians 2. It does not tell us that we need to neglect our own needs. We as individuals matter too. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to look out for our own interests as well as the interests of others. We can and should have love for ourselves. We don't want to go off balance and be in a state of self-denial. It's not the instruction. We are to love ourselves. We take care of ourselves and our lives so that we can also expand our love for one another. If we don't love ourselves, it sure is hard to love others, truly. And if we don't love ourselves, it also becomes a bitter poison, in fact, that destroys both ourselves and others. I'm sure we have encountered people who are just at odds with life and would just rather not be around anybody, even themselves. It's not pleasant, and they have a hard time offering true, sincere love. Jesus Christ gives us a commandment to love one another. I'd like to turn to John 13 and reiterate a passage that I know that we had read during our Passover service. You may have heard it as well, depending upon where you were listening in. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. As Jesus Christ was about to be murdered, he emphasized this point to love one another. That was the capstone of his instruction, if you will. Paul took this to heart very strongly with his ministry as well. As we know, he suffered tremendous difficulties and trials so he could preach the truth. And why? Because he had love for the brethren, love for the church. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, where he finishes up his description of all that he has suffered. And he states at the end, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." He was willing to give of himself and suffer so that the church could thrive, so that the individuals could build up in their spiritual commitment to God. It wasn't easy for him to do this. It was very difficult. Yet his love for the church and the fulfillment of his commission to preach the truth is what powered him through that. He willingly suffered tremendous abuse, putting himself in harm's way to stand up for the truth so that others would be able to build their faith. He sacrificed of himself for the interest and the love of the church. Now, all of this brings me to a question that maybe you are already asking yourself. What's the point of talking about love in this way during an offertory? If it's not apparent yet, I hope that it will when we read Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. This idea of giving of ourselves for the sake of others, for the sake of the church, is what we see in this example here. Mark 12 and verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant, just a small amount of money. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." This woman gives us an example. She put aside concern for herself entirely. She demonstrated true, massive love. Instead of keeping things for herself, thinking about her own self-interest, she expressed her gratitude and gave all that she had. When we give our offering today, this example of putting our concern for self aside ought to be at the top of our mind. There's a lot that we could spend our money on for ourselves, our needs, our wants, to benefit our own self-interests. But now we have an outgoing concern for something much greater. We have an opportunity now, today, to lay aside the worry and concern that we have for ourselves, and in turn, give of ourselves out of the abundance of love that we have. Our love for one another is one type of expression, and also our generosity when we bring our offering to God is an expression of our love. He wants us to give with joy out of the abundance of our heart, and that is how love feels. It turns our sacrifice into a delightful experience. Having a loving attitude is how we ought to give today and when we are interacting with others in a loving way. Our offering today ought to show our delight and gratitude to God This is our expression of love.